The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome back to Ruthless Aggression. It's Pierce, Rob, and Chris. We are going to go back to the year 2005. We got Backlash 05 coming up at the end of the show. And then I guess we'll talk about Raw, SmackDown, and NXT. Were there any big takeaways from you guys? I'm going to be completely fucking honest. I thought Raw was boring and I haven't watched NXT.
Yeah.
Well, first off, for SmackDown, I don't know how if we
SmackDown
went.
SmackDown was pretty fucking trash too, but we didn't go into SmackDown now.
I didn't mind it. I didn't mind the final segment, especially with Brian and Roman. I think that is teeing up something very interesting on Friday between those two.
You mean like a Brian loss?
Yeah, I mean their Universal Championship match. I think it'll be fun. I think Big E Apollo also looks pretty good. With Raw, yeah, I mean, there's not really many takeaways from Raw, although I was very delighted to see the six-woman tag match get a lot of time, and unsurprisingly, it was good. Shocking that when you put six of your best performers in a match.
Unsurprisingly, we're talking about Monday Night Raw here.
I mean, that's fair, but like, you still have Asuka, Rhea, Shayna, Nia's more than competent. Naomi, Lana's magically improved. I mean, she was one of the stars of the match. So, I mean, Raw's issue has always been, you know, programming people and not putting the right ones in the spotlight. Which I guess you could say the same for SmackDown, too. Hello, Natty and Tamina. For some reason, you're still on my TV.
Yeah.
And with NXT was a good show. They did a good job of setting up for next week. I think a few weeks in to this, I don't know what you guys think. Pierce, I know you obviously haven't watched yet. Rob, I know you have. They're going a lot slower in their approach, which I think is a net positive.
Well, yeah, I mean, we don't know when the next takeover is, so they have plenty of time. They don't need to have big title matches on TV anymore because they're not, you know, trying to pop a number. So yeah, you can let it kind of build a little bit. It's nice to do it that way, I think. And yeah.
I think my only eyebrow raising they didn't have to do that from last night was having Tony lose to Zeta.
Yeah, that's strange. It
was really weird.
I never saw her before, so like I have absolutely no idea who the fuck Zeta Ramirez
yeah,
is.
She's AQA, if that name rings a bell.
No, it does not.
Okay. Well, she was recently brought in. She only had one match beforehand. She's a new trainee. I'm pretty sure she went to Booker T's school. Mm-hmm. So she's a new kid on the block. And yeah, I get that people have to lose, but like, don't have someone like Tony lose to a person who had two matches.
Yeah.
Just really weird.
Well, and yeah, I mean, that kind of covers NXT.
Yeah, and then next week they're doing Candice and Indy versus Ember and Shotzi in a tag team championship match in a street fight. And Leon Ruff is facing Swerve Scott in a Falls Count Anywhere match. Violence will be heck.
Yeah, no, that'll be good. I mean, as far as Raw, didn't really get through it. It was fine, I guess. You know, if you're someone that likes, you know, Braun Strowman, Matt Riddle, you know, Raw is probably pretty good to you. But if you're someone that doesn't care for either of those guys, it's a bit of a struggle to get through.
And the thing with Raw that just irritates me, I guess, the big problem is just that the people being put out front and center, for the most part, are names that we've seen for a really long time at this point.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can definitely freshen things up.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't require that much effort. Like, they could just put Priest, they could put Kofi, they could put Ali into the upper echelon and the upper, you know, mid-card, low main events scale, where they could be challenging Bobby and it's not Drew and Braun. Which I don't mind the triple threat, because it does prolong the next time we're going to see Bobby and Drew.
Yeah.
But, like, you didn't need to factor him in right away.
No.
I get it. He's the top babyface. It's not going to be taken away from programming. But they could have just done some slight stuff, just like what they did with SmackDown, with Cesaro. He's new.
Yeah. Well, and, you know,
he feels fresh.
Breaking up the Hurt Business is still kind of strange, too, since,
fucking,
you know,
stupid.
Well, yeah, because
and Shelton are still just doing the same.
Yeah, thing. Cedric and Shelton are still just you know, hanging out losing. But, you know, the thing is, Mace and T-Bar are just losing too for Bobby and MVP now. So it's like, what did you really gain? You broke something up that none of the performers or fans wanted to see broken up, and you've done nothing with it. So it's like, you know, I don't get it.
I don't. There was a dumb decision made by somebody who might have CTE.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't mean to be rude, but I think Vince is like Dan Harris at this point. He doesn't have a fastball anymore. He's not Jared Weaver yet, but he's Dan Harris.
Yeah.
There's no fastball.
That's fair.
Occasionally you get, you know, some of the high level stuff on SmackDown is like flashes, but that's even that, like, I can't say it's like insanely captivating, or like with anything from this era. I'm never going to rewatch any of this when they go on tour again.
No, exactly.
Never,
and
literally never, ever going to watch it again. I'll watch Mania. Mania is good.
Yeah, Mania was
everything
good.
Else, no.
Yeah. And I know also Dynamite just started with Brian Cage beating Hangman Page. So it's not a good time for wrestling right now.
I mean,
things
I,
are bad.
I guess. We'll talk about Impact in a bit. But Tyson Fury is going after Drew Mack. Drew Mack was talking and said Tyson Fury was stalking me. And then literally 4 minutes ago, Tyson Fury posted a video on Twitter. He called Drew McIntyre his boyfriend, which I'm sure is going to go over well with certain people. And, you know, basically was like, hey, pull up. Or I could pull up on you and your buddy Braun Strowman. Remember, Fury beat Strowman at Crown Jewel a couple years ago by count out. So I'm going to keep it real with you. They should 100% build towards Drew Mack versus Tyson Fury next year at WrestleMania. I think that's a main event level superstar celebrity match.
Yeah, I feel that. I can see that happening. I mean, unless they don't do Drew Roman, which they could do.
Which
but
they
I,
absolutely
I
mean, should not do, because yeah, he has earned that spot.
And yeah, I would agree. With Drew, he's made it. He's the top babyface. I mean, top babyfaces have been involved in celebrity matches before, so it wouldn't be unheard of.
It's like, yeah, this. What is Drew McIntyre get out of facing Roman Reigns that he's not going to get out of facing Tyson Fury?
Well, yeah, exactly.
Hold on. You're saying you guess they have. Do you not remember the first WrestleMania?
Well, that, yeah.
I don't like the guy, obviously, but he was their top babyface in the promotion.
That's
involved
true.
In a celebrity.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You know, that's a match you could run if you go to Saudi Arabia again, too.
Nah,
you
fuck
know.
That. Fuck that. Fuck that. It was stupid to do a Strowman match in Saudi Arabia.
Well,
stop wasting
true.
Good matches on events that people don't want to see. People already have a fucking issue with the Saudi shows happening in general. They're going to have a bigger issue with it happening at the tail end of a pandemic. Now you're going to put a marquee fucking match with Tyson Fury, who before that, he was just an undefeated champion. After that, after he beat the shit out of Deontay Wilder last February, he's a fucking superstar. He's probably boxing's biggest superstar right now.
Yeah.
So why the fuck would you waste that on a Saudi show? If they That's did fair. That, I would look at Vince McMahon like, you fucking deep to deep. How fucking... Anyway.
Like, here's the thing with what you just said. Like, they're getting the money from Saudi anyway, so they could, like, put on whatever they wanted to.
Exactly. Yeah.
And, like, at Mania, you might get a bigger boost.
ESPN's going to care more about this match if it happens at Mania, not if it happens in fucking Saudi Arabia. That shit happens in Dallas?
Yeah.
In Jerry World, the first opportunity they have to fill a fucking stadium? Hell yes, that's going to go crazy.
Well, Tyson Fury will probably fight Anthony Joshua by then, right?
I mean, he'll beat the shit out of Anthony Joshua.
So, I mean, once that happens, if you can get Tyson Fury, he's pretty much your Mike Tyson.
Yeah. Just on
a, I mean, boxing isn't as big as it was, but
because we're too focused on Logan and Jake Paul in fucking mockery matches, which I really hope that they find a way to get Daniel Cormier and Jake Paul so Daniel Cormier can knock the fuck out of Jake Paul. And I want to say this. If there's anybody listening who like is on that, oh, you know, Jake Paul, Logan Paul, they're so big, they sell a whole bunch of pay-per-view buys because, you know, they're just borrowing from pro wrestling. Stop being a fucking idiot. I can't fucking stand that shit as a fight fan for you to just equate that shit to wrestling. Of course they're using wrestling. Muhammad Ali used wrestling to get over. He's explicitly stated he stole from Gorgeous George to get over. So it's not anything fucking new. What Jake and Logan Paul are doing to fight sports is a goddamn mockery. And I'm finally able to let this out and be absolutely furious about this shit because it's been building. The fact that we had a really good fight a couple weeks ago in the UFC, it was Robert Whittaker and Kelvin Gastelum. It was a really good fight on ESPN, on TV. You don't have to pay fucking $60 to watch Jake Paul knock out Ben Askren, who's not a fighter at all. He's a fucking wrestler. And he proved that in UFC when he got his ass knocked out twice. I think he was knocked out by Masvidal, and he was submitted the second time. Mm-hmm. So that was fucking proof. Now, we got a future superstar, a guy that should have a name to him in Teofimo Lopez. Fucking amazing. He's like Ronald Acuna Jr. with fucking boxing gloves. Because he is an asshole when he wins. And he's an asshole to the opponent's face when he wins. That's pro wrestling and boxing. Not Logan Paul making money with fucking Floyd Mayweather. And that's another thing that infuriates me, that Floyd would take away from Teofimo and what should be Teofimo's night so he can go make a payday by playing with Jake Paul. It's a fucking mockery. And I need pro wrestling fans to stop using that as a fucking crutch for why they wasted money on Jake and Logan Paul. Stop that shit.
Yeah. No, I mean, pretty much, man. Like, you nailed it. You know, I don't care as much. I watched a little bit of the first one. I watched the Nate Robinson fight, and then I watched Mike Tyson. And, I mean, it's entertaining enough, but, like, it's a glorified spectacle. Like, if it's going up against, you know, quote-unquote real boxing, you support, you know, boxing, you shouldn't watch the Jake Paul one instead.
I don't know a single fight fan that cared enough to watch that shit when there's other fights going on that are more impactful, more meaningful, and they actually know what the fuck they're doing. Yeah, Jake Paul's going out here and he's beating guys that aren't fighters. If you stick him in there with a lesser guy, you can go in there with Miguel Cotto, and Cotto's smaller, much smaller than Jake Paul. Cotto will fuck him up. So it really bothers me when wrestling fans like to do that shit, because it's kind of like they're jerking themselves off, really. Oh, look at you know, this particular field. They're borrowing from pro wrestling. Everybody borrows from fucking pro wrestling. Everybody. The fact that we're over here boasting about pay-per-view buys for two idiots. One of them is a fucking rapist. If you don't know about Jake Paul, Google Jake Paul rape. You sound like fucking idiots when you do that shit. Stop that shit. Anyway, Kenny Omega's Impact Champion. And who's in charge of Impact?
I think, isn't it technically Scott D'Amore and Don Callis at this point?
Yes.
Oh, is what's his name? Is Billy Corgan not at all? Corgan? Is he not at all involved?
No, he's still in charge of NWA, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, NWA. My fault. I thought he had bought Impact. But yeah, I don't know what the fuck Impact is doing at all.
Well,
it's Anthem World.
Well, you know what the thing is, and it's interesting because I've been on both sides of this. I'm like, I don't get this for Impact, but would we be talking about Impact otherwise? And it's
but
not
we're
even
not talking
us.
About Impact like, in like any kind of positive light. We're just talking about Impact.
And yeah. I think they did pay-per-view buys, you know, depending on what you put into that in 2021. I don't know. Like, is the guy who beats Kenny Omega for that title, first of all, will they beat Kenny Omega or are they going to beat someone else in a multi-man match? Because if they beat Kenny Omega, okay, you have probably a new top guy.
But here's the other thing. I don't know who would impact him.
Maybe it'll be Samoa Joe. I don't know. I mean, you know, they teased him in the
thing. They did that last year with EC3, among others.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like,
it's Impact. They're on top of their game with all that shit. They know it'll get for, you know, as much shit as we give them, their social team knows exactly what they're
doing. Yeah. So for me, it's a few things. Like, yeah, it's dumb. Impact probably needs to be standing up for themselves a little more to have, you know, more than just Gallows and Anderson ever appear on AEW. Rich Swann wasn't on AEW the entire time in the build-up to this match. So, yeah, you knew who was going to win. And, you know, I think when they kind of announced this partnership, everyone thought it was going to be a little more comprehensive. You know, maybe we get, like, a full-on AEW versus Impact pay-per-view at some point. And yeah. So far, it's just been, you know, Kenny and Gallows and Anderson just kind of hanging out, doing their thing.
With Matt Hardy and Private Party making, like, 3 cameo appearances. You couldn't. Nobody sat there in these meetings or whatever and thought to themselves, hey, maybe we should have our women do something.
Well, yeah, and that would have been good.
You got Jordynne Grace. They just got back, what's her name? Rachel Ellering.
Yeah.
I'm kind of folding on who else they got besides Kira Hogan, but I mean, like,
yeah, I mean,
I want to see Kira Hogan. I just don't want to see Kira Hogan in the wrestling room.
Yeah.
They have Deonna. They have Tenille. They have their other folks that they have there. But even just then, like with Impact, the one thing you can say that they've done pretty consistently for over a decade is prioritize their women.
Yeah,
right.
And it's like, did nobody just offer even just like a one shot type thing?
But I want to know, like, because this has to absolutely be a one sided deal in favor of AEW, because if they stick the Impact women's division, I don't even know if they're still calling them the Knockouts division, if they stick the Impact women's division in AEW, they're washing the floor of the AEW, and they've done really good work on AEW lately. It's just that the women on Impact were that much better. And like, if they're not on, that's just leading me to believe that this is a one-sided deal that doesn't benefit Impact at all. And it's like, how could you, as a maybe the fourth, probably the third, because I mean, like, what's ROH doing?
Yeah.
As the third biggest promotion in North America, how can you allow yourself to basically be taken out by the woodshed like this by AEW? Like, yeah, you got people talking about you because Kenny Omega's your champion, but the guys who are actually under contract for you are being made to look like fucking fools.
Yeah.
None of this makes any kind of positive sense for Impact.
Yeah, and I mean, I didn't see the match because, you know, it had Moro on commentary and I wasn't going to watch that.
Moro's doing commentary for Impact?
They brought him in just for that.
Yeah.
Oh, God. No, they're making horrible decisions.
I think it's still normally Josh Matthews or Matt Stryker, so it's not like it's much better.
It's, God.
But you know what?
I think it's Stryker. It'd actually be Stryker and D'Lo now.
Yeah, that's probably okay. I mean, D'Lo's fine, but I don't. It's just, you know, making Kenny your champion, that's fine, but what do you do from here? Like, or is he going to lose it to someone in AEW and then you have another AEW guy as your champion? And then it hasn't really been
anybody
true
that is ready to beat him for that title. You don't.
Well, and that's the thing too, you know, like immediately when Christian came in, he's like, I'm here for one thing. I'm going for Kenny Omega. And now he's tied in with Team Taz, which I get, you know, Double or Nothing's not till the end of next month. So they had some time there. So, I mean, maybe Christian wins one and then goes
Christian
to
an Impact Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I think so. Cause it was when WWE put Flair in, TNA got Impact or got Christian for a couple nights, I don't think Christian's in. He probably should be. But
yeah, that would make sense if I'm just spitballing here. Like if they did a double fall match, one falls for the Impact title, the other falls for the AEW championship between Christian Cage and Kenny Omega. That would be an interesting way for Christian to get the Impact, because he's held the NWA. I don't think he's ever held the TNA title. Granted, and I think the Impact title is a different lineage.
He won the gauntlet for the gold in 08.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if that was for the title or if that was for the
Yeah, I'm not sure if they broke away by that point. And they might have, but
I feel like the current lineage was after he left. So I don't think he's held this one.
Yeah. And it's a way to kind of, you know, put him back. So if they want to make him a TNA Hall of or Impact Hall of Famer, you can do that. But like,
yeah,
actually on the Impact roster, there's not a single soul that I can see. Like, I mean, obviously there's people that could benefit from beating Kenny Omega, but ain't nobody ready to beat Kenny Omega.
Well, yeah, and here's the other thing is that, you know, Kenny went on Rebellion, obviously, and won, but they're not going to have, you know, Moose or Rich Swann or whoever go to Double or Nothing and main event that show. So
absolutely not.
You know, that's I think, what people mean more when they say it's been one-sided, not that, oh, you know, no one's talking or more people are talking about Impact, which is good. No
one from Impact is being elevated.
Exactly.
Yeah. And for the record, the TNA or Impact World Championships lineage dates back to May 13th, 2007. So Christian was there, but he never won the title.
Okay.
He never won, so that would be a first for him if he pulled that off.
Yeah. So, I mean,
The only champs who were around, because he came back in 2009, right?
Yeah.
Early to the Fed, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so the only champs that occurred while he was under contract, it seems, are Angle, Sting, and Joe.
Okay. Well, you know.
They seesawed a bit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, maybe something will change by the time we're done with this, and, you know, someone will interrupt Kenny Omega on Dynamite tonight, but I don't see it.
Moose?
Yeah, I mean,
like, I don't care about that.
Impact, yeah, also doesn't have like a ready made top Impact's guy.
World Tag Team Championships are held by a team from New Japan.
So yeah.
They're getting run roughshod over here. I don't know what they're thinking at this point. They're not being assisted in any way.
I did still see the, you know, this isn't the old TNA. They're different now, and they're good now.
Might be different in the fact that they're now letting companies walk all over them to their face.
Yeah.
I mean, my God.
Yeah.
Have a little respect for yourselves.
It's not great.
No, it's really not.
Yeah, they're new Coke. It's not like they're doing anything that's changing the fucking game or really progressing the game forward in any way. Like, whatever. Impact's existing at this point. And like, yo, sometimes it's cool to exist, but whatever. Whatever, dog. What else is important in the world of wrestling?
I think that's about it. There was some stuff today. Jason Jordan is like the lead producer on Raw and SmackDown now. So I'm glad they're doing good by him, you know?
Yeah. Because
he could have, you know, left and tried to get clear somewhere else. I don't know the extent of his injury. You know, everyone's neck injuries are different.
I think at that point, there was no way.
But, yeah.
I'm sure he probably wants to wrestle, but it seems if they're going to turn him into the lead producer or whatever, it doesn't seem like that's a situation that can be, oh, I need to be let out of my contract.
Yeah. Well, and obviously,
let's also be honest, it's been 4 years. Like, if he had a gripe, he probably would have let one out.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is that he's 32, so it's immediately, you know, it's an injection of youth, which the shows can use. And you hope it can.
Person of color, too.
Yeah, exactly. Helps. And you hope it can carry over a little bit to the creative side as well, because, you know, producing's only one half of it. You know, the creative side has to adapt to him too, but I'm excited for it. I think it's going to be good, and based on everything we've heard, you know, him and Tyson Kidd are really two of the best producers they have.
I don't know if they're necessarily related, although you said, you know, it's one half of it, but like, if it Raw turns into, you know, tags and whatnot, like it was on Monday when he may or may not have been in charge, cool by me.
Yeah.
I mean, they need more six-man tags and whatnot on their television shows, by because it can help further things along, and it causes you not to have to rehash the same one-on-one match over and over again and beat people into submission.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but I mean, overall, you know, I'm glad they are shaking things up a bit. You know, we talked about some of the moves Nick Khan's making last week. We talked about this one. Yeah. You know, there's been some other departures for reasons. You know, I get, you know, Bruce in charge of creative, John Laurinaitis in charge of talent relations. It doesn't feel that different, but, you know, they at least they have some new people in there.
Yeah. You're talking about the cuts recently. One dude that should have gotten cut but wasn't cut was Drake Wirtz. And Drake Wirtz, I want to give a shout out to Bix, but I really don't because I feel like, you know. But
no, he deserves it this time.
Okay, well, I'll let y'all give that one. But, you know, he was in the Performance Center wearing an NXT shirt, and he decided to chime in. I don't know if this was county or this was just, you know, the local city meeting. But he basically tried to put out this bird brain-ass conspiracy theory that wearing masks is just going to contribute to human trafficking of children. Now, I know he does some things with a local group down there in Orlando to try to put an end to human trafficking of children, which is like, yo, I'm not going to knock you for that. It's very fucking important because I don't think we like care enough in this country about child sex trafficking. We truly fucking don't. But the fact that you're using that and you're standing in WWE wearing a fucking NXT shirt as a crutch to further this cockamamie bullshit ass theory that wearing masks is going to contribute to child sex trafficking. How the fuck do you still have a job? How the fuck does WWE continue to let this man slide for pushing his political bullshit?
Yeah, and I mean, I get, like, you can't technically fire someone for it. Well, actually, they can. They're,
they did.
They can. They can fire someone for their beliefs. I mean, you know.
They're contractors. What the hell do they care?
They can fire him for, I don't want to say negligence, but, like, you're wearing a fucking NXT shirt and you're representing WWE while you're calling into a fucking county meeting.
Seemingly on company time.
On company time! You're representing the company! People have been fired for doing less on the basis of representing the company.
Yeah. Well, and like, you know, they you know, suspended him and he's not lead official anymore. But
he was also, apparently, according to Fightful, kept out of the building.
Yeah, so that's good, but, you know, why not take the next step? And I know he does, I think he's in charge of their talent relations or whatever, books, you know, enhancement talent or something. You have 50 people there can do that. How hard can that be?
It's so easy to book enhancement talent. All you got to do is have a phone.
Yeah.
And an Excel spreadsheet.
William Regal can probably do it. You know, A-Train can probably do it.
Bobby Brookside could probably do it.
Yeah.
X-Pac could probably do it.
It's not a hard job, I don't think. I mean, you know, you have a list of all the talent.
Jason Jordan, 32 years old, taking care of fucking Raw and SmackDown, but you can't find anybody to do Drake Wirtz's job. Anybody. Literally anybody. Anybody. Samoa Johnson can do his damn job.
You could even have one of the other refs probably do it. Like, you have 10 refs or whatever, just give it to one of them.
Give Aja Smith a fucking book and be like, hey, we need you to go find some indie folk to work our show. That's it. That's it. That's fucking it.
Yeah, I don't get, he's not worth all this trouble.
I mean, it doesn't, if he's getting suspended, if he's getting, you know, demoted, it seems like we're on the path to something, to him being removed. That may be the listless optimism kicking in, but like, this isn't a situation where with Dream or whatever, they kept him off TV but kept bringing him back. If he's getting legitimately demoted and also held out from other previous positions because in that Fightful article it said that Road Dogg got Scott Armstrong into the fold over him for another position.
Of course.
Then, you know, it suggests to me that
ain't Scott Armstrong his brother, though?
Yeah. That's nepotism, but, like, still, I think, you know, for someone who was high-ranking to continue to be eating demotions like that tells me he's falling out of favor.
Yeah, they're probably trying.
this should be the breaking point. I'm not sure why he hasn't been fired that easily to do that, but this should be the breaking point. But if not, I feel like we're barreling towards.
Yeah,
especially because like, it's said that he had to subdue himself or whatever because he got a lot of heat for a lot of things that he was saying or doing.
Yeah,
which doesn't surprise.
Well, and you know, you bring Dream up too. A lot of people are like, oh, why hasn't he been fired? There might be some legal stuff there too, but I think they might just be letting his contract run out at this point since he hasn't been back yet.
Also possible.
I mean, you know, but we'll see. I don't know. It's a mess. You know, it's not good.
You see the mess with Jackson Riker?
Yeah. You know, Jackson Riker is not great either. Yeah. And I mean, it does kind of suck that the other two Forgotten Sons got punished more pretty much than Drake Wards has gotten. And they really didn't do anything. I mean, did eventually.
You mean Jackson?
Yeah. Well, no, they've gotten punished. More than they didn't do anything, and they gotten punished more than Drake, I'm saying. I mean, you know, but you know, it sucks. Yeah,
it's fucking ridiculous. Let's talk about more positive things here. And gosh, let's go back to the year 2005. We're on the road to Backlash, or as Vince McMahon likes to put it, in the year 2021, WrestleMania Backlash. They're overseas this week in the UK because at this point in time, Vince has no idea how to manage the health and wealth of his roster. They just got back from Australia doing a tour down under and are now going back over ponds to go to the UK. And they have a pay-per-view at the end of the week. I understand why anybody on that roster in 2005, minus Chris Benoit, was burnt out beyond belief.
Yeah, I mean, at the very least, you know, the pay-per-view's in New Hampshire, so I don't think that's a terrible flight from London or whatever.
No, it's just like you have to have a pay-per-view in New Hampshire. Like, what?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I mean, it does look like things clear up a little bit after this, where they kind of stay in one area, which is good. But yeah, no, it's interesting that, like we talked about, I think last week, you know, they went to Japan a few months ago too. It's why wouldn't you just hit Australia like on the way back from Japan?
Okay, that makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, and I don't know where else in Europe they went. I assume they did like the full week, but I know, you know, SmackDown was also in Birmingham. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely something. But we can get into it here real quick. You have a couple news things this week. You know, the big one, and I did want to get into this before I forgot, is it's the week of TNA Lockdown 2005, which goes down as, you know, the week that Chris Candido dies, which is very sad. I remember it was very sad at the time. It was shocking. You know, worked the match, broke his leg, and then just, I think, got blood clots on the flight back. He flew too close to surgery and just, I think by Thursday he was gone, and it's crazy how that happened so quickly.
And he had just signed with TNA that previous January. I remember when he came in and he faced AJ Styles his first match. It was just a complete fucking shock because, yeah, I remember, you know, when he broke his leg, Sonny Siaki landed on it, and, you know, it seems just like a routine thing. It's actually today. So today is the 16-year anniversary that Chris Candido passed. And, you know, I guess this is kind of topical given the J&J scare. Like, one of my biggest fears is a blood clot taking me out, just random. Because it's like you almost can't prevent it in a way. It's just, it happens. It happens and you're gone. And, you know, Chris Candido is undergoing surgery.
Yeah.
And he gets ill because of a blood clot that causes pneumonia and he passes away. Like, you know, anytime anybody goes under the knife, they run the risk of catching a blood clot and dying. That's so fucking scary. And, you know, Chris Candido back in 1995 was skip of the Body Donnas when he came in with Sonny, his ex-wife, or former wife, widow, I guess. They never divorced. And, you know, it was one of the I won't say the first faces I saw in WWE, because I mean, like, I pay attention now. It's a little shorty, but SummerSlam 95 is a very important pay-per-view in my upbringing and, you know, me discovering pro wrestling. And, you know, he's on the middle of the card against Barry Horowitz, who is a complete fucking jobber, you know, doesn't matter. He got a shock win over Skip at the Body Donnas, and then they fought each other on SummerSlam. So, like, you know, to think of him just as young as he was, he's maybe like 33, being taken out by pneumonia caused by a blood clot, was just so fucking scary. I forgot that was coming up. So I appreciate you bringing that up. But yeah, like that was a very frightening situation. And by a guy who, like, all accounts, like, you know, people liked him, you know, like, he wasn't an asshole. Like, he may have been done wrong by Sonny and the people that took advantage of his relationship with Sonny, but all things considered, he was a very likable guy. And, you know, it was just a sucky thing that happened.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you know, I just want to bring that up so I didn't forget. But we can get into Raw now from Birmingham, the United Kingdom. I don't think... Was Birmingham where they were still running, or they moved to Manchester when O2 or whatever was built, right?
I think they moved to Manchester.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't seen them do a show in London in so long.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's crazy. I mean, it's going on like a year and a half now.
Yeah.
Or even more.
WrestleMania at either Wembley or Tottenham Stadium. Either one of those two. Just.
Yeah.
Please.
So we open the night with Coach and King on commentary because Jarrett got his ass beat last week. Batista comes out first and he's happy to be in England, but he wants to honor the man that beat Triple H, which is JR. Fans are chanting for JR, who definitely did get his ass beat. Triple H comes out, says he's tired of this crap and they shouldn't be cheering for JR. And Batista says that JR beat Triple H, so maybe JR should be the number one contender now and Triple H doesn't deserve it. And then Batista keeps replaying the footage of JR winning, so Triple H comes to the ring, but then Batista steps up to him, and Triple H backs down, so kind of continuing that theme.
Yep, because, you know, Triple H is just biding his time.
Yeah. We come back from the break, and JR is on commentary. Trish and Viscera are starting their date, which I thought was going to be terrible, but is actually very funny throughout the night. We get our first match of the evening, Chris Jericho against Savon Grenier. Jericho makes Savon tap, but Rob Conway comes in, starts beating him up, and Shelton comes down to even the odds and help Jericho. Jericho says he would have handled it himself, and Shelton hits him with a T-bone suplex. We go back to the date. Trish orders bangers and mash. Viscera says he's a banger who likes to mash.
And she's like, I'll just have the salad.
Viscera orders the entire page of the menu, like the original Bushwhackers vignettes back in the day. That was funny. Christian tells Tomko to stick to the plan tonight. Ric Flair comes in, says Christian should soften up Batista tonight for Triple H, and then Triple H will come pedigree him. Christian says that Triple H isn't going to do anything because it's his night tonight.
Sure is. So yeah, we continue on the way here. Christian goes to the ring and says that historically, Canadians have been much smarter than Brits, so he's going to talk very slowly to them and make fun of their teeth. Last week, he told Vince that he deserves to be in the main event, and this week he's going to prove it. Triple H has been having a hard time hitting Batista with his pedigree, but Christian won't have any problem winning with the real move, the Unpretty.
Yes.
And he did, in this promo, or it was sometime later in the show, he did reference John Cena.
He did. And he also did at Backlash.
I just want to say that the teasing between Christian and Cena the last few months has been tremendous. It's mostly been one-sided.
Yeah.
Christian's doing a lot of talking out of his mouth. And Cena's really ignoring him. But this was legitimately really good. And it made what happens in a month from now that much more special.
Mm-hmm. Kane comes out, Christian leaves while Tomko gets beat up, and then Lita tells Maria that Kane sent a message to Viscera by beating up Tomko.
What is that message?
I guess that he can beat up a big guy.
It's Tomko.
Yeah.
Viscera can do that in his sleep.
Christian goes to Evolution's dressing room, and now he's ready to talk to Triple H.
Yes. So we do Chris Masters and the Master Lock Challenge against Andy Baker. He could not break the master lock. He was on the UK independent scene for a while and helped to train Zach Gibson, Liverpool's number one.
Yes. Coach is interviewing Shawn Michaels about last week. He says two of the biggest egos in the history of WWE have now joined forces, and Coach said that he doesn't think it's going to last very long. Shawn Michaels says they're not going to clash. They'll be fine. Well, for a couple months. Michaels introduces Hogan, says if they're going to do it, they should do it right. Brings in Mean Gene for the interview.
This, by the way, if you can't tell by the background.
Yeah, Hogan and Mean Gene are not there.
No, this was recorded the previous week at the Garden.
Yeah.
I know that, I know that backstage area, like the palm of my neck.
I could 100% tell that.
Yeah.
Because if Hogan's in England, he's showing up. Like, he's coming out and being a face. He was never.
Well, yeah. And because, I mean.
Mean Gene's there. Like, the fuck?
Yeah.
Because when flying in Mean Gene to fucking Manchester, Birmingham, wherever.
Just for a backstage spot. Once Hogan and Michaels didn't come out to save Regal and Tajiri, I'm like, oh, they're probably not there. But then Michaels worked the house show later in the week, so he was there. But yeah, Michaels and Hogan and Mean Gene weren't there.
Probably a business decision.
Yeah. Shawn talks about loving the troops again, and then Hogan also talks about loving the troops and the one more match chance at the Hall of Fame. He's gonna have more than one more match. But they're gonna team up at Backlash. So
yes,
I need them to get away from this shit. This fucking patriotism. This using the war. I'm so fucking tired of it. I've reached my wit's end with the propaganda.
Well, I think we got a couple more months, and then from what I remember, once we get to the Hassan and Undertaker stuff, and it blows up in their face, they kind of pivot from it.
Blow up in their face. They was a self-inflicted wound.
Well, that too. They could have very easily not done that. But we'll get into that.
Talk about that.
So Hassan and Daivari are facing Regal and Tajiri. Regal's got a new book out, so the crowd really happy about his new book. Hassan and Daivari come out to ruin the celebration. They get the win over Tajiri and they beat up Regal. And then, like I said, Hogan and Michaels don't come out to help because they're not there. Trish asks Viscera what Viscera means, and he says it means inner organs, but his outer organ is pretty good too. Again, these are great. I don't even want to pretend that I didn't like them. Edge is in action against Val Venus, unfortunately. So Edge gets a big reaction when he comes out, and then they do the "We Want Matt" chant, which, you know, that doesn't make sense.
We're gonna get a lot of that.
That's true.
In this next run.
Edge wins with the spear and he puts Val in the crossface, but Chris Benoit comes out and breaks it up. Coach is on the phone. Eric Bischoff's not here either. Eric Bischoff hasn't been on TV and, well, he was there at the Garden.
He was at the Garden.
He's not in London.
No. Another business decision, I'm sure.
Coach is on the phone and Flair and Christian, Triple H come in. Triple H tells him put on his referee shirt because he's a special referee tonight. So we get to that match. Coach is the ref and Ric Flair is the guest timekeeper. So things are not going great for Batista. Match is pretty good. Batista goes for an electric chair drop and Coach counts, but then acts like his arm is hurt. And Batista just takes everyone out and hits Christian with the Batista bomb and then counts himself with Coach's arm. And Triple H comes in and finally hits the pedigree on him. So
finally struck.
Yeah. So they're ready for Backlash.
Yes, they are. Before we get to SmackDown, I just wanted to insert a little buffer by talking about what was going on in the world in 05. This week, the top five movies in America, number five was Kung Fu Hustle.
Oh, my God. Kung Fu Hustle was just a feel-good, just craptastic movie. I've not seen it in 16 years, but it brings back good feels.
Number four was A Lot Like Love, which is a Walt Disney movie. Number three was Sahara. Number two was The Amityville Horror. I remember that remake. And the number one movie in America, the gross of $22.8 million, is The Interpreter. I have no recollection.
Don't remember The Interpreter either. It sounds like a shitty... No, it's a shitty Sean Penn movie.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Sean Penn and Nicole Kidman. Oh.
Yep. Okay.
It made $163 million at the box office. It more than doubled its budget. That's crazy for an unmemorable movie.
Yeah.
Wow.
Damn.
Because I legit don't remember that at all. All right. Billboard top five, number five, down from last week since you've been gone. Number four, staying at number four, is Lonely by Akon. Number three, moving up on the charts, is Holla Back Girl by Gwen Stefani.
I just want to say, is this when they finally released it as a single?
I think so.
Yeah.
Holla Back Girl. Because obviously March 15th was when it was released as a single.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like at some point this becomes the number one song in America.
I think it does, and it made a huge jump from the previous week. It was number 10.
That shit was a supernova, man. Like, Holla Back Girl was a good fucking song. It was a good fucking album.
Mm-hmm.
Gwen. Yeah.
Then number one and number two remain unchanged. Number two, Hated to Love It. Number one, Candy Shop. So 50 Cent is
running shit.
Credited, yeah, he's running shit. He's credited with the top two songs in America right now. And in sports, so let's see if anything else was going on before I talk about the main thing. Let's see here. That week, nothing on the 24th.
Did Nomar get hurt yet? I feel like we talked about Nomar getting hurt, but I just can't remember.
I think we did, because it was pretty early in the year.
Yeah. I might have just mentioned him on the day of the trade.
Yeah, let's see. He got hurt on April 23rd.
Yeah, so that would have been this week.
Yep, so that was this week.
It was the day my little heart died, and was like, yeah, it's going to be a while till I see a World Series.
Yeah, there was nothing that much. It says on April 25th, this seems interesting, I guess, Football Association asked UEFA to grant Liverpool a place in next season's Champions League should they win the competition but finish below fourth place. They indicated they will not allow five teams from one country to take part.
That's confusing, because before they decided to let five teams join, which was only a couple of years ago, the Champions League winner still always got an automatic bid. So it's usually the team that finishes at the bottom half of those four teams in the Premier League would have to go to Europa. Because that happened 2012. Chelsea wasn't that good in the Premier League, but they still made the Champions League the next year because they won it, and that bumped Tottenham to Europa. So
yeah.
That's
yeah.
odd, but I mean, fuck Liverpool.
Okay, actually, now that I see, there actually was something big that did occur that Saturday. Chelsea won their first Premier League championship in 50 years.
Oh, there you go.
Tottenham still. Oh, God. If I had to... Somebody had a really good comparison to Tottenham, in American sports. I can't remember who it is. But it's kind of like they're like the Detroit Lions. Like, they haven't won shit in forever.
Yeah.
They have no hope.
Also, on that Saturday, Bayern won their 19th, please let me know if I pronounce this right, Bundesliga title. And their third in the last 5 years, so they are dominating.
Yeah, that's not a surprise, though.
Sorry, not a surprise.
Yeah, that's not going to last. Bayern dominating the Bundesliga in 2021 is never going to last.
Okay, so we're going to skip past baseball. Nothing that interesting seemed to happen, plus it's the first month.
We're in the playoffs, aren't we?
Yeah, we're talking about the NBA playoffs started this week. So,
we have to talk about the Bulls.
I'm just gonna run through here through where they're at by the end of May 1st, because that, of course, is when Backlash is. So, Dallas and Houston, the 4 and the 5 in the West, were tied up at 2. Dallas was able to tie up the series despite 36 points by Tracy McGrady. Seattle leads Sacramento 3-1 in their series.
I thought you said Seattle leads San Antonio. I'm like, what?
Yeah. Okay. No, I was gonna say San Antonio. I read it wrong. Okay. Because San Antonio's next. So Seattle leads Sacramento 3-1.
Which, by the way, is the last time that a Seattle basketball team has made the NBA playoffs. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed. Sad as it is.
Save our Sonics.
Yes. They got 45 from Ray Allen in game 4 to help them propel to 3-1. So good job by them. San Antonio leads Denver 2-1. No idea why that series is lagging behind so much.
Carmelo. Oh, why it's lagging behind? I thought you meant why Denver was in it. I'm like, yeah, Carmelo.
Yeah, no, I, for whatever reason, that series started very late.
That was in the first Kenyon Martin year, too. So it was him and Carmelo.
Yeah. Yeah. So they got 32 from Manu in game three to help push them up to a 2-1 lead. And Phoenix finished off a four-game sweep of the eight-seed Memphis Grizzlies. Joe Johnson scored 25. They actually got they had three different leading scorers through this series. Sean Marion, Amari Stoudemire did it twice, and then Joe Johnson led in game four.
The American dream. Joe Johnson parlayed this postseason this year with the Suns into the first of two massive contracts from Atlanta. The second one was just absurd.
Okay, moving east. I hate that we have to bring this up. Chicago currently leads the series 2-1. They jumped out to a 2-0 series lead, it appears.
It's game five that's going to piss me off because they should have won game five.
Understandably so. Let's see if I can find this again. So they led 2-0 and then they dropped one to the Wizards at the MCI Center. Lost 117-99 on April 30th. Gilbert Arenas scored 32 points that night. So that series is only three games into.
Didn't the Knicks make the playoffs this year too, 2005? I feel like a seven seed.
That was the year prior because they faced the Nets in the first round.
Okay, I thought it did back-to-back. I mean, yeah,
it
makes sense.
Yeah, it was only that year. Boston and Indiana right now are tied up at two games apiece. Boston got 30 from Paul Pierce in game four to tie the series up. Detroit currently leads Philadelphia 3-1. This despite two back-to-back awesome performances by Allen Iverson, who scored 37 and then 36 in game four. They got to OT, but they fell. And finally, Miami swept the Nets on May 1st as well, just like the Suns did. They got 34 points from D-Wade in game four. Jason Kidd also had a triple-double in a losing effort in game three.
I really thought the Heat were destined to go all the way this year. And I think had they gotten past Detroit in game seven, I think they probably would have beaten San Antonio.
Yeah, for sure.
Agree. All right, so that's sports right now, 05. So let's go to SmackDown.
SmackDown.
Yes.
Also from Birmingham, we get Carlito out first. He wanted Queen Elizabeth to be on the cabana so he could spit apple in her face because she's not cool, which is correct. And the crowd is
ahead of the curve.
The crowd is into it. Columbus discovered America, but England has yet to discover cool. Carlito shows some people that England considers cool, including Prince Charles, who they boo. So the crowd's not really
ahead of the curve.
Crowd's not really going with them, but you know. Kurt Angle's the guest on the cabana, so he comes out. He agrees that England's not cool. Kurt refuses to call it Great Britain because there's nothing great about it. Cool is facing Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania and making him tap or pinning Eddie Guerrero on SmackDown.
Great dad joke.
Winning tonight's Fatal 4-Way and beating John Cena will be really cool. And some music hits, which is basically like a cartoon version of the British Bulldogs theme.
You
isn't British Bulldogs theme just God Save the Queen?
Pretty much, but this is still like a weird version of it.
You said it sounded like something from SpongeBob.
It did. It sounded like the SpongeBob music if they did God Save the Queen. So Steve Lewington is here. He's not going to let Kurt besmirch the good name of England like this. He's going to be part of the Kurt Angle Invitational tonight. Kurt says he can't fight him tonight. He's in the final Fatal 4-Way. And he goes to leave, and Kurt attacks him from behind and beats him down. Then he fights back a little bit, and Kurt hits the angle slam and puts him in the ankle lock. It's also WWE ECW alum DJ Gabriel, by the way.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's
shout out to DJ Gabriel, because that was a name that I hadn't heard in at least 12 years.
Yeah. Paul London's facing Chavo Guerrero for the Cruiserweight title. Torrey Wilson is the guest ring announcer. Paul London gets knocked down outside the ring, gets counted out because he's just going to get hurt every week now.
Yeah.
Chavo thinks he won the title because
Tori implied it.
Yeah, Tori said he did, but I guess neither of them know the rules.
No.
Chavo brings Paul London back in and hits a Gory Bomb. Charmel is hyping Booker up. Heidenreich comes up. Booker tells him to back off, but Heidenreich says that, you know, they've had their feud. He wants to be friends now, so he reads him a poem. Booker and Charmel appreciate it, and Heidenreich's proud of himself for making two friends.
Good for you.
Yeah, you know. Eddie goes into Ray's locker room to talk about their tag title rematch tonight. Eddie says he knows he hasn't been reliable lately. There's just been a lot of bumps in the road. Chavo comes in and cuts him off and tries to stir up trouble again, and Eddie says he's trying to talk to Ray. Chavo says that Ray's not family like Chavo is, and Eddie says that Ray's been closer than family a lot of time. So, SmackDown is brought to you by Xbox, Kicking and Screaming, and K-Swiss. Kicking and Screaming is another great movie.
Yeah.
So, Ray and Eddie are going to face M&M for the WWE Tag Team Championships. Midway through the match, Ray accidentally hits Eddie, and Eddie starts going up the ramp, but the fans convince him to come back.
But that's all for naught, because he might as well come back, because he didn't even help Ray at all whatsoever.
Yeah, once he comes back, he just stands there, doesn't try and make a tag or anything.
Yeah, it's very vindictive.
Right? Yeah, just kind of watches M&M hit the snapshot, and they even look at him for a second before they pin Ray.
I thought that was smart.
Yeah.
That was good on their behalf. Whoever pitched that idea is completely logical.
Yeah.
Because you would think, you know, they're just walking in on it. They think that they're friends or whatever, and he's not helping them. It's like, oh, okay. Because it's, you really see that kind of behavior from villains or whatever. And I think it adds, you know, a little bit of conscience to them that you can go back to at some point. But obviously they're just trying to win the titles and they're just being evil bastards anyway. So.
Yeah. Yeah, so they hit the snapshot and retain the titles, and Eddie does nothing, and then M&M beat up Ray on the outside, and Eddie still does nothing, so they're going to be feuding now.
Yeah, they are. What a feud it'll be. I mean that completely on our own. This is about to be a crazy 3 months.
Yeah. Rene Dupree is facing John Cena.
We give Cena a match. We fed him Orlando Jordan last week. We need to feed him somebody again that he can easily beat and just look dominant in, and you're not having your new champ and new face of the brand, soon to be new face of the company, miss your London show. Or not London, yeah. Your England show.
And I mean, not that I would have rather used him here, but just speaking of people that John Cena spent the last year beating up, is Kenzo done with the company at this point?
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, I want to say, because I know he gets cut.
Yeah.
But he's pretty much done, yeah.
Let me move on to Matt Morgan against Mikey Whiplash.
Is that supposed to be some kind of riff off of Mikey Whiplash?
You know, that's what you think, right? So he's kind of been around the independent scene, trained Piper Niven, but got some speaking out allegations against him last year. And Matt Morgan got the victory. JBL says he's going to win tonight and get his title back like he deserves. Yep. I love JBL keeping the old title and just not recognizing Cena's new title. That is good stuff.
It is.
Big Show comes up and says no one cares. JBL's on a losing streak, and that will continue tonight. Christina Aguilera introduces a video about the making of John Cena's Bad Bad Man music video.
That's a sentence right there.
Yeah. And the Bad Bad Man music video is premiering next week.
It's a really funny video.
Yeah, it's great. it's really good stuff. I can't wait to watch it. And then we are on to the number one contenders elimination fatal four-way match. JBL, Kurt Angle, Booker T, and The Big Show. JBL comes out in the Rolls Royce with horns on it.
That was cool.
Yeah. Everyone hits their finisher on Big Show, and they're trying to take him out first, but he kicks out of all of them. And they take him outside the ring, and Kurt does an angle slam through the table. Big Show gets counted out, which I guess because it's elimination, there are countouts and disqualifications.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so... Brian Hebner ejects Orlando Jordan and walks him all the way up the ramp instead of doing his job because he comes from a line of dumb people. JBL hits Booker with a chair with the distraction, and Angle pins Booker, and it's down to Angle against JBL.
It is, and JBL tapped, but there was no ref. The Bastions came out, Angle took them out. Booker came out, hit Angle with a chair as revenge, and the Bastions rolled Hebner back in the ring, and JBL won.
Yeah. See, so I like this. You know, you got however many weeks until the pay-per-view, but you've also set up, you know, Eddie and Ray to get going and now Angle and Booker T to get going.
Yeah.
So
I agree with that.
You got feuds. It's good. And I don't remember if they wrap up before the draft. I think they do. Right before the draft is when.
Which ones?
All of these. Well, no, some of them go longer, obviously, but.
Cena, JBL. I mean, Booker Angle lasts until.
Well, neither. Yeah. So it's good. They did a lot of work on this SmackDown.
They did. And I don't mind them going back to JBL here. I think you had an array of options that you could pick, and they all would have been ones who have been very familiar with Cena. But, you know, I'm fine with them going with JBL again, and I'm fine with, you know, what happens, obviously. It's a great match that happens.
Also, you know, just looking at it now, like, he had to go to Raw.
Who?
Cena.
Cena?
Because there's no one left for him to face.
I mean, yeah.
After he beats JBL again. I mean, they could have put, you know, Christian or Jericho.
He's a much bigger star going to Raw than he ever would have been staying on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good point.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like I said, you have some Raw guys you can bring over and, you know, do it that way instead. But the way they did it ends up being very good.
Because I think, well, actually, in a way, I would have worried about Raw if Batista stayed.
Yeah.
Because if you think about, because okay, they cycled out of the Triple H stuff, but like, well,
he's still technically there. Like, yeah, he's gone until October, but when Triple H comes back, what reason does he not have to go after Batista?
Yeah, and also the other thing is that you've already used Batista Christian on TV. So what are you building to? Because you're not going to Edge yet.
No, they either don't have
Batista Randy because Randy goes to SmackDown. You do him and Jericho. That's not a draw.
Yes. Or they probably rush the Edge stuff or have him face Kane or, yeah, send someone like Angle over.
Because Angle does come over to Raw. So, like, that's illogical. But, I mean, like, Batista and Angle, and they never locked, I don't think. But that was never a match that I'm like, I'm dying to see.
I would be intrigued by it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds like a hell of a time.
Yeah. But,
you know, they never won. I mean, they never wrestled.
I don't think they did.
No, the timelines don't match up because Batista got hurt and had to drop the title the night that Angle moved back over to SmackDown. And then by the time Batista came back, Angle was gone.
Yeah, they, Angle and Triple H will defeat Batista and Shawn Michaels on Raw in a couple months. That's it.
Yeah.
And you know what? Actually, they did link. There's that match, and then there's the Saturday night's main event before WrestleMania. Actually, no, he's hurt by that point. He's hurt by that point.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
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 Yeah, no, it's just that match.
It's just that's wild.
Yeah. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. I liked it because, you know, JBL's kind of your best option. You might as well use it.
Mm-hmm.
I know Angle's coming off of a big win against Shawn, but obviously we've seen him and Angle before. Yeah, and we've seen Angle and Cena do the dance how many damn times? They just did it in February. So they didn't need to go back to it. They could have just they can keep the JBL stuff going because it's still fresh on the vine.
Mm-hmm.
And they wound up doing Cena and Angle in a couple months anyway. So
yeah, exactly.
Very unforgettable. It's very forgettable, and I'm not looking forward to rewatching.
Yeah.
Well, because it's more Cena versus Bischoff than it is Cena versus Angle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just exactly. The proxy because Jericho left.
And also we're just starting the Cena hate train, and they're just doing so much to boo Angle, and it just doesn't work.
Yeah. But yeah, we can get into Backlash here.
Yeah, so before that, I came across something that did happen in sports on May 1st. It was sort of just worth noting because it sounded chaotic. So Jeff Gordon won Aaron's night $499 at Talladega for the second consecutive year. He was driving apparently a Star Wars Episode 3 paint schemed up stock car.
Oh yeah, that's coming out next week, yeah. I believe. Yeah.
Yeah, and also apparently the race had a 25 car pileup that forced NASCAR to red flag the event for nearly 45 minutes.
That's Talladega, man.
Jesus Christ.
Not first or last or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Star Wars Episode 3 comes out May 19th.
Yeah, so Backlash 2005 from Manchester, New Hampshire.
First and only pay-per-view in New Hampshire ever.
Good. Yeah, probably forever. I mean, you think about it, like, they're not going back to New Hampshire.
No, I mean, they'll go for, they could have rolled through there for a house show or something, but, like,
you know. Yeah. You know, the intro video is focused mostly on Hogan and Michaels and was, Triple H and Batista.
Was not the profile match one.
No.
It was on the poster.
We begin the evening with Chris Jericho against Shelton Benjamin for the Intercontinental title. Very good match.
This is just excellent stuff.
You know, Jericho goes to the top rope and Shelton just leaps up there and superplexes him.
So good.
Jericho throws Shelton over the top and Shelton lands on the apron, does a bulldog.
I love that swing word bulldog.
Yeah.
I love doing it in the SmackDown versus Raw games.
Yeah. You know, they, kind of trade near falls, and then Jericho goes through the walls of Jericho, and Shelton does a sunset flip, rolls him up for the win. Just a lot of fun. Todd Grisham tries to interview Jericho on the ramp, and Jericho blows him off. He just lost, you know?
Come on, man. Give the man some space. I know you're trying to do your job, but still, give the man some space.
Edge is with Coach. He said things are heated tonight, and Chris Benoit is very upset, because last year at this time, Benoit was a champion, but this year, Edge has Money in the Bank briefcase, and tonight, he's going to be the last man standing.
Let me do tag team turmoil for the world tag team titles. We started off with Chance, Regal, and Tajiri against the Heartthrobs. And Tajiri pinned Antonio very quickly.
Yep.
So then we moved on to them versus Simon, Dean, and Maven. Maven and Dean isolated Tajiri for a bit. Regal got the hot tag, hit an exploder, running knee on Simon for the pin. We moved on to them versus La Resistance. JR was confused by the USA chants, and so was I.
Yeah.
I mean, these people need to use their brains. Looking at four people who are not homelanders.
Yeah.
Whatsoever.
Regal put Sylvain in the STF, but Rob Conway broke it up, and Tajiri went after him. They took each other out, and Sylvain rolled up Regal with the tights. Regal and Tajiri eliminated, so we're going to have new tag champions.
Yes.
It's either La Resistance or Rosie and Hurricane.
And Hurricane jumped off of Rosie's shoulders and got the pin for the win, so we have new champs.
Yeah. Sure.
So Hurricane Rosie and Superhero Stacy.
Good stuff.
Yes. So we get Edge versus Chris Benoit in a last man standing match. This was very violent.
Yeah.
Also, I brought this up before when you were talking about how the crowd reacted to Edge, how they cheered him and then did the Matt Hardy stuff. This crowd in Manchester, New Hampshire is clearly jumping the bandwagon.
Yeah.
They're clearly just trying to fit in. This is the start of that bullshit culture with fans that we still deal with now. I hate 05 for that reason. This is one. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Just enough already. Like, we're going on like almost a month now.
Well,
other teams like more full throat. Like, and Matt is not helping things at all because he's continuing to stoke the flames because he's getting the endorphin rush off of it.
Like, yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah. You know, the first 2 minutes of Last Man Standing matches aren't very good. And
no, I mean, it's a match that builds.
Edge is on the outside. Benoit goes for a dive, and Edge hits him right in the head with the garbage can lid.
I'm sure that's
fine. Probably all right. Benoit German suplexes Edge off a ladder. Definitely a bump they should both be taking. Benoit goes for the diving headbutt off the ladder again and misses again, like at WrestleMania.
Their necks are fine.
It's fine. Edge is going to use the briefcase as a weapon, but Benoit puts him in the crossface instead, and Edge taps, but it doesn't matter. Jerry Lawler says that Earl Hebner sucks at counting. He's not good at his job. And then Edge opens the briefcase and pulls out a brick and hits Chris Benoit on the back of the head with it and gets the 10 count that way.
Yeah, that's definitely not going to come back to haunt anybody.
This is the one spot from this match that I remember the most. It's something that I wish they still did to this day.
Well, you shouldn't hit people in the head with bricks. I mean, I'm sure he got his hand in front of it like the sledgehammer, but still.
We'll just load the briefcase and have someone, you know, hit them with it and have a second one or whatever. Like, you don't want to actually hit them with a brick.
Yeah.
Load it up, put something fake in there, and then have it come out with it. This early stuff with Money in the Bank is so fun to watch because it's the beginning, and it's like, why aren't they using this as a template still?
Yeah.
Borrow from it.
We cut to Lita watching the fallout of the match, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, very particular right
there. And then Kane comes in. He's going to take out both Viscera and Trish tonight.
That is a segment that I completely forgot about, by the way.
Yeah. Another Master Lock challenge. Chris Masters is facing Melissa Coates. He didn't realize she was a woman, which led to some things that did not age well.
Yeah.
She couldn't break the Master Lock. Also, Melissa Coates is Sabu's girlfriend and manager, and had her leg amputated last year.
I learned something today.
Mm-hmm. Viscera says that he's ready to go destroy Kane and then is going to, get with Trish. So we get Kane against Viscera, which is not a pay-per-view singles match you want to see in 2005. Kane got the win, and then Trish kind of talked down to Viscera and got beat up and got stretchered out. So I guess this is where she leaves for a while.
Yeah, this is where it happens.
All right, then we get to Muhammad Hassan and Daivari against Shawn Michaels and Hulk Hogan. I mean,
no shit.
Yeah, what do you say about that? Like, you know, I don't know. Like, it's not good. It doesn't need to be 15 minutes.
No, I mean, they were pushing the shit out of Hassan. I mean,
yeah, the crowd's into it, I guess, but it's just, it hasn't aged well. And also, then,
but thinking about it, like, they put Hulk Hogan's first match back in the WWF since, what, like, 03? In 2 years?
Yeah,
one of his last matches ever in Manchester, New Hampshire?
Well,
I'm sorry to the people of Manchester, New Hampshire, but, like, really?
Gotta sell backlash, man. Triple H and Batista's not doing it.
Yes. Jesus.
It's
insane to think about.
And then, so they find this fat white guy who his entire back has a tattoo of Hulk Hogan's like entire body on it, which is weird.
I wonder how that person is doing right
now. Yeah. It's also like the 2002 version of Hulk Hogan with the Hulk Still Rules band. It's so just
he
very
like
weird.
Recently got it. He was recently a grown ass man and decided, hey, I'm going to get a picture of a 40 going on 50 year old white man on my back, which like is not built at all. He looks like the Stay Puft Marshmallow. Like, no, nothing about that was a good idea. And in 2021, if the vid hasn't taken him out already, I hope that he completely regrets getting that tattoo.
Yeah, and then JR's like, oh, you don't see that in the NFL or the NBA? No!
God damn it. I'm very fucking glad that you don't see fucking people with tattoos of fucking Emmitt Smith or LaDainian Tomlinson.
I bet people do.
They probably do. It's probably an idiot that has a fucking tattoo of Jay Cutler smoking a cigarette. Thank God they don't show their, they're not proud enough to show their face.
Triple H tells Todd Grisham he's confident because he's leaving tonight with the World Heavyweight Championship with the pedigree like he did Monday night. That'll be all it takes. Christian comes out and raps about John Cena and the draft in general. You know.
Obviously, he's not on the upper echelon, but it's very clear that they're giving him some momentum.
Yeah.
And they felt it necessary to put him out in front of the live crowd.
And the crowd's reacting to Christian very well.
Yeah, the crowd, yes, the crowd likes Christian.
They're gravitating to let's talk about Triple H versus Batista. Round two.
It's a mess, man.
It's kind of
Flair distracts Batista right away and Triple H gets a free shot on him. They spend the first few minutes just trying to hit their finisher on each other, but neither one can do it. Flair throws Triple H a belt and distracts the ref, and Batista goes up for the Batista bomb and Triple H hits him with the belt, but Batista kicks out. Mike Chioda eats a clothesline. Triple H hits a pedigree and Flair tries to get him back up, but he's too hurt to count. So new ref comes out and then Triple H hits him with a low blow. So still no ref. Batista goes for Batista bomb, then Triple H hits him with a low blow, and Batista ends up in the corner, and Triple H is going for the punches, and then Batista just powers him out into a Batista bomb from that, and Mike Chioda's okay to count now, so he counts, and Batista wins, then Batista leaves, and Triple H hits a pedigree on Mike Chioda. That's how we end the show.
Yeah, Matt's was very much not good. Shitty way to end your show, but I mean, it's better than ending your show with Hogan.
That's true. That's a good point.
So, King of the Ring. I mean, it's between Batista or Edge to me.
Yeah, we'll go with Batista. I mean, he got his first, I guess not his first title retention, but, you know, his first on pay-per-view.
Oh, I guess Orton, right?
Orton and then Christian.
That was a title match?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Christian match was a title match, yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, we'll go with Batista.
Yeah. Big Dave.
Congrats, Big Dave.
Next week, the Gold Rush starts.
Is next week the Shawn Michaels, Shelton Benjamin
match?
Oh, yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
First night out of the gate.
Can't fucking wait. Nice. Go ahead.
I was going to say, seriously, I'm so excited about that.
It is. It, I mean, it's not only just a memorable ending, it's just a really good match. That's going to be it for us. We will talk about that next week, along with a few other things. Still on the road to Redacted Backlash in the current timeline, so we'll see what developments spur on regular TV. We'll also see what comes out of AEW tonight. I mean, if anything major happens with Kenny Omega, we'll probably talk about it. But we'll save that for next week. I am at Cameron Santo. Rob's at Robert O'Neill 31. Chris is at Chris M. Novak. Very soon, me and Chris will get together and we'll go over the top 25 for the month of April. We still got one, well, technically two, because NXT UK is tomorrow and then SmackDown. So we'll go a little bit further into that when we get together, and you'll see that on the Patreon, patreon.com/barberschairnetwork. You will get that. You'll also get summer sessions. You'll get my special editions of 4040 Club. $10 will get you all of that. Don't forget to rate us 5 stars wherever you listen to our podcast. Subscribe to us. Leave a comment. Shoot us up the boards. We really appreciate it. We're going to get up out of here. Enjoy the rest of your week. This has been Ruthless Aggression, man. Have a good one. We'll see you guys next week.